Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Did you know that lithium-ion battery anodes are dominated by graphite, but they've essentially achieved their maximum performance in terms of energy density, and there's a real problem there. How are they going to solve that? Well, one way, enter silicon, because silicon-based anodes have up to 10 times the energy density of a graphite-based anode. That's why some of the biggest auto manufacturers in the world are looking at silicon anode batteries. But there's a problem there. They're known to suffer from significant degradation during charging and discharging cycles, and that's a problem. That solution potentially comes from HPQ Silicon, a technology company positioned to become a vital supplier of silicon materials for battery anodes. And more than just lip service, they're awarded already a 90,000 euro grant towards work on their engineered silicon oxide anode battery material. And they've made a couple of other big testing announcements, one a couple of weeks ago, and now the most recent one, 18650 type batteries produced with first gen engineered SiOx material delivers strong performance of 25 cycles. That's the headline. There's a lot to chew on there, but that's why we got CEO Bernard Tourneau. Bernard, welcome back, my friend.
Thanks, George.
Okay, we already know from the last press release, what we know is this. You're testing 100% graphite anodes versus a 90-10 split. 90% graphite, 10% with your silicon material in it. Mm-hmm. And in the first round of tests, you boosted performance by 14%. Which is significant, especially in a day right now where electric vehicle manufacturers need cost savings, as we know from the headlines. First question, what's the significance of now doing it at 25 cycles? Because this is your next round of testing. What's the significance of 25 cycles? Because people like me don't know what that is.
Okay. Let me use an analogy that comes out of the mining sector. You get a gold intersection. You hit gold over a small fraction, okay? Then you do another drill hole and you get in a longer section. Suddenly it increases the value of what you're doing. It's a quick analogy, but that's what the analogy is.
Sure.
In the battery space, it is the cycle performance is what's the key, okay? And what we're doing, and I believe it is unique, I'm willing to be corrected by people, we're one of the few companies that are producing our data where we're showing this is a reference battery, which is 100% graphite, which by the numbers we've published is a very decent, very, very high, would be a very good graphite battery in itself. And we're using that as a benchmark, okay, to show the improvement. So the 14% is the improvement toward the very good graphite battery we made. You know, so basically, you know, we could take a very bad batteries and then compare it to ours and say, well, our improvement is 70%. Like it's that.
Sure,
so
yeah.
That wouldn't be serious, but I'm serious. Take a look at all of the material from silicone battery manufacturers. Okay. They'll give you snippet of information about a few things, a few cycles. So what we've chosen to do is basically you create a benchmark. Okay. You use the battery where there is a lot of data about performance available. Okay, so it's an easy comparison to do. And then you run the cycle test to see how well your battery reacts. So if it continues to demonstrate, it is there. It is expected, usually, unless you have a very good, you've made some very good material, that you with silicone, you'll get a very quick loss of capacity, because the loss of capacity with silicone has always happened the first five tests. That's why the first five results were important. Now what we're demonstrating is, hey, we continue to show this at 25, okay, and hopefully we'll keep showing it at 50 75 100, and then that becomes okay, that demonstrate that we understand how to make that material, and that's really the key to it.
So there are a lot of companies out there that are talking the talk, but they're talking selective. They're showing you bits and parts of their data. What you're saying is HPQ is open to kimono. and we're showing everything, and that's our 14% improvement.
If you show a graph that says my battery is doing great, but you don't give anything to compare it with, it's nice, but you got to compare it to something. So this is where we choose to do it differently. We choose to say, this is a reference battery. This is our reference battery. So basically somebody can say, yeah, but you switched to graphite to get a better result. No, it's the same graphite. Okay. One is 100% graphite. The other one's 90% graphite. Actually, we do give reference of, you know, we give reference in the press release about the maximum charging capacity of the graphite batteries. And people realize it's a very decent 100% graphite rechargeable battery. Very, very decent. It's in the top probably 20% of the batteries out there, just the graphite one. So from that base, then we do 14% better. That's very, very good. So that's what we're showing, that what we're demonstrating. We're keeping investors informed about how this is progressing, because we believe that SiOx it will be an important material to do for batteries, and it will be required for battery manufacturers if they want to improve their batteries.
And the great thing is, Dr. Krame, the CEO of Nevasium, says you're actually exceeding expectations. His quote says, the test results continue to exceed our expectation. The results after 25 cycles surpass our internal theoretical estimate of a 10% improvement in battery performance, demonstrating our ability to produce a graphite and engineered SiOx anode material blend that can enhance battery performance. So question there, is there a chance that, because you guys it seems like from Dr. Krame's quote there, 10% improvement would have been great. You're at 14%. Any fears you might revert to a mean of 10%, or now you guys pretty confident that 14% is the minimum improvement, and we're going to talk about optimized versus non-optimized in a second? Or do you think that you've set a new benchmark there at 14%?
We gotta wait until we get the data to see what the data says. At this stage, the data says, okay, we're maintaining in that direction. We fully expect at one point there will start to be a degradation of the material. When is that? We don't know, but how bad the degradation will be. You know, I've seen some material that's advertised. Actually, I even had an investor send me an email on this. Says, is this comparable to what you're doing? And you looked at it, and I think their first cycle loss was they kept 77% of the charge. We're keeping 99% of the charge. So
wow.
So that's really not a competitive material what we're doing. But that's just to give you an example of where the material is. The other point is, okay, this is our first iteration of the material we've done. Okay. A lot of people do multiple tons of iteration using half cell batteries. Okay. But half cell batteries are very hard to replicate in a commercial size batteries. So you can have fantastic results at half cell. Okay. And get completely killed when you try to do full scale batteries. That's why we decided since we feel very comfortable with our control of how to make the material, we went directly for a battery that is very well known, where there is a lot of data, a lot of models of those. So there's a lot of information that's out there. So it's very easy to compare our results versus other results. And that's what different half cell batteries, the results can always be made to look great because there's a continuous feed of lithium into it. So it sort of like corrects the first cycle degradation, as we wrote. So this is why the first 2,500 cycle results are very, very important, because that's where most of the loss occurs. I think it's called first loss of lithium or whatever. Like, we'll use the term.
So 25 cycles really too early to get excited about just yet, or?
No, 25 cycles. Wait, George. Okay. Five cycle, I understand people didn't get that excited with it. 25 cycle, we'll start to get interesting. Okay. 50 cycle will be even better, because at 50 cycle, then you start to be in a position where you can put on a graph where the result of your battery is versus the entire spectrum of 18650 batteries. And then you can compare them to what other industrial batteries made by big battery manufacturers, how much they've lost in the same amount of cycle. Okay. So
it is that's where most loss takes place. That's where most loss takes place is in the early cycles anyway, right?
It'll happen this, and at one point the battery does. You have to remember that a battery is a consumable. Okay. So depending on the application you want for your batteries, okay, if it's a consumer application like a cell phone, well, you calculate the 400, you know, 300, 500 charges more than enough, because after that, you change the battery, you change the phone anyway. If you want cars, you want a higher application. But there's so many markets to which our material can be used. That's where the potential is there. As one of my competitor once said, it is not is there going to be a market for it? It's going to be, are we going to be able to make enough material for it once it's getting to be more and more commercially accepted? And SiOX is, and that material is starting to be more and more commercially accepted.
And it sounds like, because you mentioned just a couple minutes ago about this, your first iteration.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you can do even better, especially this quote where you say, the results obtained to date with a non-optimized version mm-hmm. of the engineered silicon oxide material
mm-hmm.
Suggests the possibility of developing better performing materials with broader industry applications. Mm-hmm. I know it's probably scientific, but I'm going to ask anyways, you know, how much better performance do you think you can get as you optimize the silicon material in there?
It's gotta be hard for me, you know. First of all, I'm not gonna put a perspective into it, because somebody, if I put it, you know, somebody 5 years down the road says, you promised us that, which is not what I'm gonna be doing. But I'll just give an idea. We announced a few months ago that we had bought a surface treatment patent within Novasium. And we announced that we had some increased, you know, we've done some tests on just graphite and it increased the performance of it. So it is logical that when we're going to be applying that process to our engineered SiOX, that would also increase the performance of the materials. That's why I say it's a non-optimized. This was really a proof of concept to demonstrate one thing, okay? Can we make a material that can be easy? Can we make a graphite silicone material at the 10% threshold, okay, that can be easily integrated or applied in commercial batteries now and generate positive results with minimal loss of capacity? So to all those questions, yes, 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 yes. Now we're at the phase where how long would this continue on? And then we know how to keep working and developing it. So this is very important news. This is very serious news in the sense that it's moving in the right direction, and it's demonstrating that we're hitting our milestone with regard to making SiOX, which is something that we've said. If you go back to the communication we've issued last year, our plans are to look into making a first North American facility to produce these type of material for the battery space. Now, what's great about the material we've done and our new approach or modified approach, okay, is that we just want to make a material that can be easily blended into it. So gigafactories don't really have to change anything.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the last thing they want to hear is says, my material is great, but you got to redo everything you have. What they want is this into. So the beauty of what we are developing, okay, is we can start working with a graphite guy that wants to have a better graphite to be able to sell his graphite, or we can work with a EV car manufacturer who wants a better batteries, but they want to choose their graphite. We just mixed it into it, and that's it. So the market potential is massive. Where we are is more advanced than people think, because there isn't too much R&D for us to start thinking commercial scale.
That's one thing I picked up from this press release.
Mm-hmm.
When I read it, it seemed much more confident, much more aggressive when it comes to commercialization, because you had not one, but two quotes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with the first one, because that seems to be the tamer one. HPQ strategy is to commence production of this proprietary engineered silicon anode material using cost-effective equipment, highly scalable processes. This approach should shorten the time to commercial scalability. You don't typically say things like that if it's a long way out, at least as far as I know you. I'm not trying to read between the lines, but I'm wondering if I'm picking up the same thing, if anybody else is. But then you go on to say, our vision extends beyond mere innovation. We're setting the stage for a new era where our materials will meet and exceed the demands of various industries. As we prepare to scale up our manufacturing capability, we are demonstrating our readiness for large-scale production. Like that last one there, we're demonstrating our readiness for large-scale production. I didn't necessarily see evidence of that in the press release. I mean, you're definitely proving, like you said earlier, that you can produce the material, and that's all that was important. You're not worried about 100% optimization yet. But now you're hopping to shortening the time to commercial scalability and demonstrating readiness for large-scale production. So the question I'm going to ask you is, which I've asked you in previous press, in previous interviews about new products as they advance, is the telephone ringing? You know, in every line of the company, the telephone's rung and you've had LOIs, NDAs, and, you know, significant kind of partnerships. Is that happening here? Where does the confidence come from? Because I don't think the press release up until then supports that. So is there not, something more going on?
George, if it doesn't support us, because people don't seem to understand what we've done, what we've demonstrated with this test. Okay, what I've said is we now know how to make a material that can be easily blended into present 100% graphite material now being used. You just remove a little bit of it. So if you look at the big picture, okay, you can try to make 100% anode material and work on R&D for 20 freaking years and try to get it to work, okay. Or you can make a material knowing how to manufacture that material, okay? Knowing where you can have some specific cost advantages as you build it, all right? And implement them. So what it is we're doing is that our R&D, and the reason why we went for the commercial size batteries, the reason why we went this way is just said, this material can be blended into it. So there's no change for gigafactories. So now it's going to be a question is how fast can we start making our own SIOX material, engineered SIOX material, and start selling it to individual. Now it's not going to happen like in 24 hours, but it is now feasible for us to have a very strong business case, business plan. Okay.
Wow.
And what I can tell you is that in discussion I'm having with financial intermediaries, that is having it's getting some feedback. It's getting some interest. So I'm getting the feeling that things are starting really to look up because we have this great SIOX potential that we're delivering on. And we have a pathways how to deliver it, and we know the recipe to do it. That's the guy, Novacium, that worked on it for about a year and a half, but this is where we are. So that's 1 year. Remember what I said many times. We're going to do with the battery the same thing we did with fume silica, which is we're not going to talk about it when we're doing our first iteration, doing some tests. We didn't talk about it. We started to talk about it when we can make commercial grade batteries and give some good results. Same thing. Now, we've been working on this for a year and a half, so we know what's required for us to move forward. Okay. We know SIOX, how to make SIOX, engineered SIOX, how to make those issues. We know we have a good idea how the value chain works. Okay. Now, I know a lot of people are asking the question, where's the silicone coming into it? Where's the material? Is it the QR? Right at this specific stage, okay, my focus is on taking 3N silicone and converting it into high-value SIOX. And the reason why I'm not overwhelmingly focused on the QRR at this specific moment, okay? It's because, A, I know it can do the material, but to bring it up to commercial scale at this moment, it won't give us that big of an advantage. The price of silicone has crashed. It went from $10 to $3. At this moment, there's no issue into it. Where the QRR is going to come into it, it's going to allow me to have the full, once the price started fluctuating again, I will have the full control. But into it right now, the most important thing for me to do is to be able to get offtake agreements or get agreement or get people interested in buying our engineered SIOX and showing them how we're going to be able to manufacture and doing it. And that's what we're working on.
I know the first press release about this, about the 14% boost, came out in mid-February. So it wasn't very long ago. You talk about 2 weeks. Basically 2 weeks. Did that capture the attention of people, given the fact that there is such close watch on the industry right now? I mean, we're watching, you know, the biggest automakers of the world talking about pulling back a little bit on their EV because, you know, it's not going to happen as fast as they want to at that full production. Obviously, they're still producing. Mm-hmm. But clearly, that means they're looking even more so than ever for efficiencies. And then a press release like that comes out, I would think somebody in this industry, it perked their attention to say, hey, who are these guys who got a 14% boost on their first go around? That's just me assuming, but I have to ask. Because
there is a lot of assumption into it, because that's not how it works in the real world. And I'll give you a real world example in regard to the fume silica. Okay. Fume silica, we got the three biggest players, which is probably the same thing that's going to be happening in the battery space. But the three biggest players take a look at it. They've seen the material. They know that the material is good. Okay. Now they say, okay, the next benchmark is prove it. You can do it at pilot scale. You know, us and, you know, we in Pyro have no doubt we'll be able to prove it. So it's a question of timing. And as I say, when I talk to financial people about this, they all understand the dynamics where it's going to play. They all understand it's going to be sort of crazy. It's like the moment we make it, everybody's going to come and says, oh, we've made it already. In the moment we make it at pilot scale. Now, once we start for the battery side, once we start demonstrating that we have a coherent, and we do have one, once we start talking about our coherent strategy to implement the manufacturing of this, then people are going to come into it. It's most of the conversation with battery people on their NDAs is always give us your technical results, give us your results or your material. So you know, we started to publish about it after 2 weeks ago. We're now at 25 cycle. We're ongoing with the cycle test. We're actually looking at getting pretty soon second iteration of even different composite batteries started and done. And we're going to be starting the same cycle again. So this is just the beginning. And at the same time, we're having ongoing discussion with parties under NDAs about how can we start commercialization and how we can speed that up. So there's all these moving parts that are ongoing.
Okay. All right. So I know you can't give more specifics, but man, I just figured that. I've known you for, 8 years now, 9 years. And the language, it just seemed like the confidence in your statements about commercialization took a significant jump up from the February 15th press release. Oops, sorry about that, guys. I thought that I'd shut that off. From the February 15th press release. So I'm not going to ask you more about that, but clearly there are discussions taking place behind closed doors that have given you and your partners a great deal of confidence. So what's next steps from here? Is it just more cycles, 50, 75, 100? Is that the goal right now? Is the goal before you get to a higher optimized SIOX, is it just to get to 100, 200 cycles? Give us a sense of what the priority is right now.
Well, as I've just said, okay, for this first test, we'll let it run for as long, and then we'll see where it starts degrading. Where it does, we don't know yet. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to be starting new batches of batteries with different composites, see if we can get even better results and get that moving and continue to redo the trend. Because what's really fascinating about the results we published today, and is the fact that our degradation, our cycle loss, is within the bandwidth of graphite. Okay. So we're having the same degradation within the bandwidth of graphite, and that is so important. Now, how long that continues before it gets bigger? We know at one point, we will go below where graphite is. But that doesn't mean that because of the 14% and all those issues over a long cycle, it won't be great. So, So what is the next step? Well, if you start thinking about going commercial, you got to start thinking about a lot of the issues related to this. And those are those are one of the things we are working on how we can reach that goal in an efficient manner, in an optimized manner, and in a speed up manner, and see how we can squeeze the timeline to do it. And we think we have a few ways to be able to do that.
And as usual, I guess we'll be hearing, I'm trying to be careful because I know you can't answer specifics, but I want to try and extract a little more. If everything went well in all these discussions you're having and things that commercial production, mm-hmm. is it going to be as fast as fumed silica where, maybe it's 12 months away, 12, 15 months away until your commercial plant, or what, just ballpark? I'm not going to pin you to an exact date, and I want to make sure everybody at home knows that, and that we're not pinning to the exact date, but is this 2030 or is this 2026? That's what I'm trying to ask. And if you can't answer, no problem, but I had to try and ask.
If you look at our presentation, we're looking at, I think, 2025, 20, and in those areas to be able to start doing this. And I think that is an attainable target. In the meantime, we'll continue to produce results. We have the fumes. HPQ is more than just this SiOX,
And that's for sure.
That's for sure. And we also have a great advantage, is that if the energy source that we're using to make a material is green, we will have a much greener material. So that plays a lot into the equation, because carbon taxes are influencing profitability.
Headline. Right now.
Yeah, I just read in Federal Global's financial numbers that their profitability for making silicone metal was affected by the carbon tax.
Now, affected, obviously. But materially, I guess for them to mention.
But materially enough for them to discuss it.
Materially impacted.
Materially impacted enough for them to explain that as a reason why their profit margin were lower.
Yeah, and we already know that from the fumed silica side, that of the multiple five or six advantages you have on the fumed silica side, the one may be the mitigation or elimination or drastic reduction of the European carbon tax that a lot of these companies are facing. Mm-hmm. If you did nothing else, if everything else stayed the same, but you just produced it the green way, the way you're producing, just that alone may be enough for you to capture significant market share, let alone the fact you're introducing OPEX, CAPEX, energy reductions, all of that. I mean, I'll leave you with this. How happy are you with all the pillars that they seem to all be?
I am very happy because I'm not preaching in the desert anymore. I'm really not. Remember when we started talking about the fumed silica, I said, if it comes, now I'm having more and more serious discussion with either industry participant or basically member of the financial community specializing in financing green technologies. And, they confirm my understanding of what's going on. In the case of fumed silica, once we make it at pilot plant, then the equation is going to move forward. And the discussions I'm having, even with the big boys, it is centered around that. It's really centered around that. The moment the pilot plan works, and I understand that some investor says we've went down that route with the QRR, okay. But it's not the same thing. You can really cannot compare the two technologies. The QRR is an advantage, is one step making high purity silicone, all right? But as I've explained before, its disruptive advantage are not of the same scale as the fumed silicone, all right? Discussion I was having with one of the big players in the fumed silica business was telling me, when you start making 1,000 ton, you won't have any problem selling it, because they know they can't compete on price. So, and we're going to have the green label. They won't, you know, and our green label is going to come from the simple fact that, you know, we will produce between 1 to 1.5 kilograms of CO2 per kilogram of material versus 15 to 20, you know? So the same thing is happening in the battery space and what we're doing in the battery space. Same thing is happening with the fumed silica. Things for HPQ are looking very, very good on the operational side regarding the potential of the technologies we're developing. I have also stumbled sometime why it's not reflected in the share price, but my belief is that it will be.
You can't control the share price. You can control the fumed silica. You can control the SIOX. You control the QRR. And on all of those, Bernard, you're doing great. I mean, we're not going to talk about hydrogen right now, but on top they got the hydrogen side. That at the very least you're gonna have a licensee in me for heating swimming pools around Canada. So you got guaranteed business model there. But man, you know, amazing news today, how fast you're moving this forward. And we saw you how fast you've moved fumed silica forward, and we're at the end of February 2024. I can't wait to see where this company is gonna be sitting. I don't want to say in December. I want to say by September, October, to see where we're sitting. And it's an exciting time. And you're not going to have 100% approval rating, because nobody does. And God knows you and I don't have that sometimes, these interviews. But I think we had a very high approval rating. We get called the Ernie and Bert Show once in a while. But
Listen.
Which these makes us laugh, by the way.
Yeah. We laugh about this. These are informative interviews, okay? If they were not informative interviews, people that have an agenda would not be spending time basically poo-pooing them, okay? And that's all.
And just to be clear, they're like each interview is getting like 40 to 60,000 minutes in watch time.
I have no clue. Damage.
This is major minutes being clocked. This isn't you, me, and our moms kind of tuning in, and our dogs kind of watching this. So we do laugh at all the criticism. It's great, because we take that. That's part of social media. That's part of being out there. But 98.5%, my friend, it's really amazing what you and your partners and the team are doing. And keep it up. I can't wait to have you back. Every day I wake up is saying, am I going to get a call from Bernard? It's like, hey, George, we need to do an interview. I just put out news, you know, so I can't wait. Just don't do it if you can avoid it. But if you have to, you know, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, because I've got to be at the PDAC in downtown Toronto.
Isn't that your birthday also afterward, George?
What's that?
Isn't that your birthday also afterward, too?
I know nothing. I say nothing.
Ah, you're Schultz.
I'm Schultz. I'm Sergeant Schultz. But if you can avoid Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I bet you won't. Knowing you, you're going to call Monday morning and say, okay, I have to record you tonight at 10 o'clock when I'm back home or something like that. And we'll probably end up doing that. But happy to, man.
There's a lot of things moving forward. I'm very happy with all the news that we're issuing and how we're presenting this. So we'll keep slugging at it and get it done, because what we have is incredible. It's... within the company of HPQ, there is a potential. And the funny part is I'm now getting that feedback. It's funny. You keep telling me, you know, do you get calls from industry specialists or participants? But what's funny, in the last 3 years, I never got a call from people from the financial community. Okay. And now I'm starting to get them. So that's very interesting.
Nice. That's great to hear. Great to hear. I'm sure every shareholder is going to love to hear that. Doesn't guarantee anything yet, but the fact that that's why I always ask, is the phone ringing?
Yeah, but it's experience
in this. Go ahead.
No, it's I think the key point for people to understand is, as I said, you know, we'll be an overnight success, but it will take us time to get there. And I really do believe that. I do believe that what we have is unique in the sense that we have more than one thing. All of our eggs are not in just one basket. Okay. Fume silica, material for batteries, we're in a good position. Hydrogen is also a good space. We have other things we're working on. We'll keep slugging away. I guess we won't bore people too long because, you know, it's been long.
Trust me. I think everyone's hanging on to this. A couple of times said, okay, we're going to go. And then, we keep going.
Yeah,
to let you keep talking because, especially what you just said there in the last 60 seconds, maybe the best part of everything you said, which was awesome at the same time. But
you got to use marketing.
You
got to make sure people listen till the end.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people, it's kind of like those superhero movies, right? Where you think it's over, everyone's walking out, and then hold on, sit down. Iron Man's coming out.
There's a little
teaser trailer here at the end. Everyone sits back down again. So I think that's what you did today. Now the question is, are you Iron Man and I'm Captain America? Are you Thor? Am I Loki? You know, that's what we got to figure out.
I think I'm more Hulk by my size.
That's a good one. All right, Hulk. You're the Silicon Hulk. That's going to be the name I put as your label there on your nameplate on the future one. You're the Silicon Hulk. Thanks, Bernard. Have a great day, my friend. Keep up the great work. I know it's not easy, and you're doing great things for shareholders, and we all appreciate it. Thank you, my man.
Thanks. Bye.
To everybody at home, you've been watching or you've been listening to my podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, your favorite podcast platform. To Bernard Tourdillon, HPQ Silicon. If you love what you heard, you want to do due diligence, start at their profile page on Agoracom because it's a little more English and layman to get you to understand what they're doing. And then head over to the company's website. They've got fantastic information there, fantastic decks on a couple of different business lines, as well as the overall company. And if you're just discovering HPQ Silicon now, you know, go back a couple months, go back 3-4 months, watch and listen to these, either watch them while you're at your laptop, listen to them when you're driving or when you're walking, because these are very, very powerful, informative interviews, and very few companies give the access that Bernard does. So thanks for joining us. Have an amazing day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform so you will never miss another one great Agoracom Small Cap Podcast.